Hey everyone, it's Hannah. I wanted to quickly ask if you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. It goes a long way in getting the show in front of other listeners. If you listen on a platform that doesn't do reviews, please follow us on social media, like the show, or leave a comment. Thank you. We love you guys, and we hope you enjoy the show. You're listening to The Tales We Tell, a podcast about spooky stories, unsolved mysteries, and local lore. I'm your host, Hannah Parch.
And I'm also Hannah.
Yay! We got it in one take.
It took everything in me not to start
laughing. Oh my gosh, I'm sweating. It's like my tagline for today. I'm sweating so much.
Stressed.
Yes, it's 1,000 degrees.
I know. We were out at the pool today.
Lucky.
Oh, gosh. And the pool was even warm. I was like, this is not it.
Not lucky.
This is not it.
Yeah, there's a pool at the KOA where Jarek's family is staying. And it's very crowded. And so I don't want to go to it.
Mm-mm. So. I remember we went to Busch Gardens last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Water Country. And we got into the lazy, like, that was our first stop was the lazy river, because nice. We will spend all day in that thing if we can. And literally, it was like a hot tub in there. It was disgusting. Gross. And you have all those people there, too, because it was so hot. I was like,
not fun.
I gotta go home.
I know. Gross. Anyways, this is Hannah, everyone. Also, Hannah.
Mm-hmm. That's your name in my phone. I hope you know that. I have...
What? Also Hannah?
Yeah, so nice. Our other friend Hannah is Hannah 2. T-O-O.
Okay.
And then you are Hannah also.
Hannah also. I like that. I gotta change that, because I just have you guys with your actual given Christian names.
Your legal names.
Your legal names, and I really should change it. Oh, I love the picture. Hold on, I actually just changed your picture, too.
Is it cute?
Yeah.
That's super cute. That's super cute.
Speaking of all the millions of pictures that we get from
Casey's phone.
That one was your own doing, though, obviously.
It was. She told me to take a picture of her, so I took a picture of myself.
Naturally.
Obviously.
Oh my gosh. So, we've already had some shenanigans. Before we hit record.
Yes. All the shenanigans happened at once.
Hannah got introduced to Isabel and Jacques, our... two dolls, and so we moved them into Caressa's room because Jarek's sister Caressa is staying with us naturally, so we moved the dolls in there. And then, like dummies, we were like, well, let's go prepare snacks. And so Jarek got a knife and started cutting up a block of cheese, and the knife just snapped in two.
Oh,
in his
gosh.
Hand. And a tiny little fragment went flying somewhere.
Yeah, we were searching for that for like 10 minutes.
Into the abyss.
And somehow Hannah sees it laying on the floor. I don't know how you even saw that.
I thought, where would the vacuum cleaner not pick up? What would the dirtiest parts of my floor be?
And so what does she do? She presses her finger into it to try and grab it.
I got it! That's how you pick up things that are... I wasn't gonna go get tweezers.
Yeah, so I think that... Honestly, I wasn't vibing with Jacques, so I think that he might be mad that he's in the sun right now.
Oh.
Because like we said, it's hot out.
It is hot, and you put him in a window.
So, he'd break a knife and try to kill
us. He's going to fade. Well, he tried to kill Jarek. Not
yeah,
you.
Honestly, he's a man-hater.
That's true. I know. We actually joked when Isabel, because Isabel's Katie's doll, her old doll.
Mm.
But she was like, she came brand new from a store, so like... She can't have some, like,
no.
You know, horrible history. Jacques, my sister gave to me for Christmas, because that's what we do to each other, is we give each other, like, creepy shit. And he came from, like, an antique store. We have no idea what the fuck is living inside of him, so.
He's questionable.
Could be anything. And he hasn't moved from that spot in several months.
So, and now we move him, so, and then a knife breaks.
So, good chance that we have fucked something up here.
Mm-hmm.
So, stay tuned for that. I have a spot in here that just says announcements, and then I didn't write anything in there, so We are eating also, to Jarek's delight. Mm-hmm. We have lots of crunchy food. Well, we have one crunchy food, and that's it.
Yeah, surprise, this is turning into an ASMR channel as of today.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
I don't know why Jarek's so against that, but whatever. Okay, I gave you a hint, and you guessed what the episode's about, right?
Oh, was it really? You didn't confirm or deny. You just sent me a GIF.
A GIF.
Okay. Anyways. Okay, boomer.
Well, Megan told me that, not to name drop all these people that no one but us knows.
Y'all want to hear all the tea? We'll tell you.
Casey and Megan and other Hannah. Hannah, too. Megan told me that you guessed correctly what it was.
I said I thought it was Titanic, so I sent you a Titanic GIF, and then you sent me back another one, but it wasn't, like, confirming or denying.
Oh, I thought it was very much confirming.
Well, I couldn't tell because it was just, what was it? It was Tobey Maguire being all, and I was so confused by that reply that I was just like, okay, maybe.
And then you, because then you said in your weird Gen Z lingo, I need your Addy. And I was like,
so send me the Addy, girl.
And I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
I'm sorry, I missed the cutoff in the years.
How old are you?
23. You're so young. 99.
You are almost a full 10 years younger than me, because I will be 33 in 3 weeks. Happy birthday to me. Thank you. Appreciate
it. Probably see you within those 3 weeks. I know. So I'm not going to wish you a happy birthday now.
My birthday's on a Sunday, so we can celebrate the Friday or Saturday before.
I mean, I guess we are eating cakes, so we can celebrate. Along with Cheez-Its, cheese, and cornbread.
Yeah, the cheese that did the knife in. The cheese.
It's not even, like, hard, though. That's what I'm so confused about.
I know. I mean, it's not a soft cheese, but it's not, like...
It's not, like...
Hold on.
Brick.
That last one was Hannah's fingers. This is the cheese.
Enjoy that, Jarek.
Okay. So, yeah, we're doing... Titanic conspiracy theories, which I felt was topical because of the Titanic stuff in the news. Mm-hmm. Did you follow that?
I mostly saw memes.
No.
Honestly. But I kind of saw a little bit here and there. I didn't get too into it, though.
Do you need me to recap what happened? Because I followed it extremely closely.
Give me a little recap.
Okay. 5 billionaires. Technically 4 billionaires and one guy's son get into an extremely dangerous and unregulated and janky submersible called the Titan.
I saw the, like, controller that they were using for it. And wasn't it, like, an old, like...
It was an off-brand PlayStation controller.
Yeah, like, one of the old-looking ones, though. Yeah. Not what, like, GameCube.
Yeah, like, it wasn't even, like, a PlayStation brand. It was, like, off-brand. It was, like, great value brand.
With all that money they spent, they couldn't get it on-brand.
Let me tell you, billionaires cutting corners is gonna be a theme. A small theme, but... So they get into this submersible. They have each paid $250,000 for their seats. And they go 2.5 miles under the ocean, which is stupid anyways. And it's supposed to take, I think, 2 hours to get down to the Titanic wreckage, which is what they were supposed to see. Which, spoiler alert, I don't know if you know this or if they knew this. You can see that on the internet. Mm-hmm. You can probably see it. On, like, an IMAX screen somewhere for, like, $17.
Cool.
I don't know. Certainly didn't have to pay $250,000.
I was about to say, it's a lot different to see than $250,000.
Through a porthole. And then, like, 1:45 into their mission, they lost communication. Like, the ship on the surface lost communication with them, which apparently was very common. It happened, like, every time the Titan would, like, make a dive.
Red flag.
Red flag. Several red flags. And so after 6 hours, 6 or 8 hours, Hannah's leaning away to chew a crunchy cheese it. Anyways, after several hours when they didn't make contact again, they alerted Coast Guard. There was a 4-day search because the thought was they had lost power and they were stuck at the bottom of the ocean, freezing.
Which is
terrifying. Ooh. And they only had, like, 4 days worth of oxygen. And so, for me, I was like, oh, this is the worst death imaginable.
Honestly, it's close to it. I hate the ocean.
I would have just volunteered to die. I'd be like, you guys can kill me so that I don't have to take up the oxygen.
Yeah, eat me.
Like, do we have some cyanide capsules on here that we, like, took just in case?
Kill me, please.
And then on the Thursday of that week, it happened on Sunday, and then on Thursday, which was, like, that morning, they would have run out of oxygen. That afternoon, they found debris and then figured out that what had happened was when they lost contact, they had actually lost pressure and the whole thing had imploded and killed them all.
At least it was, like, more instant than having to... Yeah. I mean, not to be, like, morbid about it, but, yeah. Like, at least they didn't have to, like, suffer and, like, get suffocated.
Yeah, that's true. Bit more. Fun fact, because I rewatched... Well, I started rewatching the movie Titanic, obviously, to prepare for the episode.
And so factual, so on.
I haven't seen it. I haven't watched it in, like, probably 10 years.
It's been a while for me, too.
It's been forever. It's on Amazon Prime.
Have you seen the cat version?
I'm sorry, the what?
This person, like, put his cat into the Titanic movie as... what's her name? The girl in it?
Rose.
Photoshopped his cat
into the whole movie? Like, the 3.5 hours of it? Mm-hmm.
So, like, when he's over the thing, he's just, like, holding this cat up in the air like Simba, whatever he's supposed to be holding her with her arms out.
Where can I watch this? How does he do the naked drawing scene? Is it just a cat?
The cat's laying there. He's just chilling. And I think even, like, I don't know for sure, but I think that he put, like, the drawing as the cat, too.
Oh, gosh, I love that so much.
I know. We need to watch that because I love it.
Is old Rose, is 100-year-old Rose, is she a cat?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to find... Okay.
I don't remember. I haven't seen it in forever. But I see little clips every now and then on TikTok. I'm like, oh, I love this so much.
Oh, my gosh. So, first of all, Rose is supposed to be 17 in that movie. Problematic. I mean, I guess not, but a little much younger than I thought she was. But in the very beginning of the movie, it's Bill Paxton, and he is in a submersible, presumably a government-regulated one that's not really janky. I didn't see a PlayStation controller on
good
in it. But he's in there, and he's like, there's two of them, and they're like at the Titanic, and he does this little monologue where he's like, we're 2.5 miles underneath the ocean. The pressure outside is 9,000 pounds per square inch. These windows are 9 inches thick. And if one of them fails, we're all dead. And I was like, how did he know?
It's like straight out of the Simpsons episode.
And someone said something to me. They were like, did they add that in? And I was like, Bill Paxton's dead. How could they?
Also, that impression... was, like, great A.
Thank
I love that.
Thank you.
I like your face made, like, a little kissy face as you were doing it like this.
Everyone says I do a really good Bill Paxton. That's my number one impression.
Love that.
So.
For you.
Anyways, it felt very topical and, like, I don't know. Everyone should go rewatch Titanic. It is, like, 3.5 hours, though, so I'm not finished watching it. They just hit the ice. Well, no. Rose just refused to get on a lifeboat. I'm pretty sure I have, like, an hour to go in this
stupid
movie. I mean, she lives, so.
Well, yeah, but who dies privileged in her favor?
I know. Privilege.
Who did she sacrifice to get there, though?
I know. Come on. Okay. I guess I should actually start telling you the story. Okay, so first I'm going to tell you what actually happened, like, to the facts of the actual Titanic.
Okay.
Not the movie. To the history. Okay. The RMS Titanic. Do you know what RMS stands for, by the way?
I feel like I did in elementary school, but now it's very hazy for me.
It stands for Royal Mail Ship.
Sexist, but okay.
Like, I think mail, like postal mail. I don't know why. I don't think, I don't know. I thought it stood for, like, I don't know what I thought it stood for, but not male.
I was going to say rotisserie meat station. So.
Better, better. If they didn't have one on board, they should have.
They should have.
Okay. So, the Royal Mail Ship Titanic was a British luxury passenger liner. It was built by Harland and Wolff, which I think is just the name of the company that built it. And it was operated by the White Star Line. Again, just the name of a company. Construction started in 1909 and it was completed in 1912. Mm-hmm. Total cost was 1.5 million pounds, which would be 150 million in 2019. I didn't do the conversion into 2022, but I assume more because inflation has gone up quite a bit.
It's actually $3 billion at this rate.
Probably. 250. Yeah. It was the largest ship afloat at the time at 882 feet 9 inches long, mm-hmm. 92 feet 6 inches at its widest. And it could travel as fast as 23 knots, mm-hmm. which is 26 miles per hour, which does not seem very fast.
She was a slow one.
She seems really, that right? And like, okay, and not to keep bringing up the movie Titanic, but but like, there's the scene where like Jack and Fabrizio are at the bow of the ship. I also looked up the terms.
Good for you.
Thank you. I know a lot about ships now. And it's when Jack does his, I'm the king of the world. And then they look down and they see the dolphins. And they're like, you think the Titanic's going to like kill a bunch of dolphins?
For sure.
Right. It looks like it's going like 50, 60 mm-hmm. miles per hour. And also you're like, we're traveling across the Atlantic to a different continent. In a couple days, I feel like you got to be going like 50, 60 miles per hour. Not 24 miles per hour.
So how fast do like regular like cruise ships go nowadays? Do you know?
That's a great question. I don't know. Look it up.
I'm going to look it up. Because I'm just like one, like I want to compare it, you know?
Do it.
I mean, they go about the same.
Oh, really?
It says 18 to 22 for the average cruise ship, which is 20 to 25 miles per hour.
That seems super slow.
Mm-hmm.
Is that considered fast in the water? If you go faster than that, is it going to, like, be I guess, would you, like, feel it if you're, like...
I think with, like, how big they are and the weight on them and everything, like, you're going to need some of that, anti-nausea medicine.
Yeah. It's like, I guess you can't, like, lay out on the deck and then it's going, like, 45 miles an hour and, mm-hmm. like, fly off the deck,
like,
probably.
Like, Jack holding her, holding Rose, and she just flies off.
Her mouth does that thing.
Her eyelashes are back.
Oh, my God.
Like, those people that you see on the slingshot ride.
Yes. And they're trying to do, like, something romantic, and her hair is just, like, flapping in his face.
Swat away like a fly.
Oh, my gosh. They should remake the Titanic that way.
I say just, like, go, we're getting there. Just go with the cat version.
Yeah, no, they don't have long hair. Oh, my gosh. Okay. It could hold a total of 2,453 passengers. It was also equipped to hold 48 lifeboats, which held around 50 people each. However, if you remember in the movie, because Rose was a smart bitch, and remember, I'm sorry, I don't mean to make this a Titanic podcast, but Rose was talking to Thomas Andrews, his name is down here, that's how I knew it, the architect. The cute architect guy, okay. The Silver Fox architect guy. You would know who he was. He also dies.
Well.
And she's like, beg your pardon, Mr. Andrews, but I did the sum in my head, and the number of lifeboats times the number of people, like, there wouldn't be enough lifeboats for the number of people on board. And he's like, you're right. Ha 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 ha. There's only enough for, like, a third of the people on board. So when Titanic took its maiden voyage, she only had 20 lifeboats. That bitch. Which was apparently consistent with maritime safety regulations at the time. And I think it was because they thought that having all 48 would clutter the decks.
Who cares?
And it was supposed to look nice.
I don't care about aesthetics. I care about safety. When I go on a cruise, I'm just looking at all the lifeboats. I'm like,
I know, right?
Just go around counting them.
That's the first thing you should ask. Be like, excuse me, how many people are on the cruise? How many lifeboats are on the cruise? How many people can the lifeboats hold?
Yeah, and I can just see them now, the little Filipinos and everybody who works on there. Okay, Karen.
I know, they'd be like...
I love them so much. I really do. They're the best.
So the 20 lifeboats could hold a maximum of 1,178 people total. So if they filled all 20 lifeboats completely full, that's how many people they could hold. And on the maiden voyage, there were 2,224 people. So, 2,224 and enough lifeboats for 1,178.
Maybe they should have thought about that before hitting an iceberg.
I mean, you know, just some thoughts.
Dummies.
So, her maiden voyage was April 10th of 1912. Third class tickets started at £7, which was £800 today. That is a lot for a third class ticket.
I'd be rich with my bank account right now.
Put me in steerage. Good grief. First class tickets ranged from £23 to £870, which is between £2,400 to £92,000, which is still not as much as $250,000. Just saying. But you could pay £92,000 and be on the Titanic.
I'm quiet right now. I'm just shook.
It's, don't pay that much for anything. Except a house, I guess. That is a bargain for a house.
Unless you can count it as a tax write-off, there's no reason to.
It's true. So, I didn't know this, but the Titanic collected passengers from three different ports. Yay. I thought there was just the one. So, this started on April 10th. They started in Southampton. Southampton?
Okay.
Southampton, which I think is in England, London, somewhere.
In the UK.
It's in the UK, the general UK area. And then they went to Cherbourg, and then they went to Queenstown, which I know is in Ireland, because they left Ireland. And so by the time they left, it was April 11th at 1:30 p.m., and that is when they hit the Atlantic.
That's a lot of ports to go through before you even leave.
I know. I'm like, y'all couldn't, for $92,000, y'all couldn't be like, get to all one place.
I didn't see any Irish people in the movies.
Yeah, there was that one, one of the one guy that gets shot is Irish, the curly-headed guy. And then there's a very sad mom, all the redheads were Irish.
Obviously. Why wouldn't they be?
And she has a cute little children, and they're like, Mommy, what are we doing? And she's like, we're just waiting for the first class passengers to get on the lifeboats.
The second accent was... The first one was like scary Victorian child dying of some crazy disease.
That's what they sounded like. Mommy, what are we waiting for?
Mommy? Sounds like Stewie from Family Guy.
But she's like, we're just waiting for all the first class passengers to get on the lifeboats, and then they'll come collect for us. But it wasn't true. They were just gonna leave.
Dun, dun, dun.
They were just gonna leave them down there to drown. It's very sad.
Sorry. I keep laughing.
It's been over 100 years. I think it's okay. Also, these were fictional characters that I'm impersonating, so.
Right.
Those children didn't actually die.
Fake deaths.
Those were child actors who I'm sure are adults now. They're probably our age. My age. Sorry.
You're just aging yourself now. Like, why would you do that?
I don't know. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. So she leaves port on the 11th. She is supposed to arrive in New York on the morning of April 17th. It is only supposed to take 6 days, going 24 miles per hour. to cross the Atlantic. That seems... That doesn't seem to make sense mathematically in my head, but maybe it does.
I don't understand.
I don't know.
Anything.
Okay, so here are some notable passengers who were on board. I should have made pictures for this, but I didn't. Sorry.
I would have loved a slideshow.
I know. Sometimes
PowerPoint.
Sometimes I print out... Where would I have given you a PowerPoint? On those curtains?
Let's get a laser pointer. We'll be good.
Sometimes I print out a dossier for Katie, but I usually do that when I'm at work and I have access to a better printer. I finished this afternoon. It's a lot. Okay. Notable passengers. This one doesn't count because he was the captain, but I had to put his name in here. Edward John Smith.
Basic.
Three very boring names, but he was the captain. Thomas Andrews, the architect, a.k.a. the Silver Fox mm-hmm. in the movie. American millionaire, a.k.a. modern-day billionaire, John Jacob Astor IV, and his pregnant wife, Madeline.
Hmm.
They do star in the movie. Rose points them out, and she's like, his wife, Madeline, is barely my age, and she's in a delicate state, meaning she was pregnant.
Did you just say pregnant?
I know. Like, well, they're married, so I'm not sure.
Okay, but like, also, can you add deceased or alive next to it?
Oh, yes. So far...
Like, if they survived or not,
yes.
I should say.
So far, everyone I've mentioned dies.
Even the wife.
Oh, so, no, sorry, she does not die.
Oh, good for her.
Sorry, yeah, Madeline doesn't die. Madeline survives. And John Jacob Astor V, which would be her son that she would have...
Mm-hmm.
Survives, obviously, because she survives. So, her pregnancy is fine.
Every time you say that name, all I can think of is
John Jacob. Jingle Iverson.
I'm sorry. Like, rest in peace.
R.I.P. billionaire. You're in good company.
Yeah. Now. No offense.
Okay. Benjamin Guggenheim of the millionaire Guggenheim family. He was on board. He also died. Francis Millet, who, I don't know if he means anything to you. He was an artist, and he was a contemporary of Vincent van Gogh, who's my favorite artist.
Mm-hmm.
He was on board. He also died. I didn't know that until a couple days ago.
I was
like, oh God, he died that way. The unsinkable Molly Brown... did not die.
Well, you said unsinkable before her name, so she must have floated.
She was played by, Now I can't think of her name.
Hold on, Jerick, I got you.
Ka-ka! Who's the lady from Misery.
Okay.
And The Water Boy. And...
I'm so bad with names. What was her name again?
Molly Brown. Kathy Bates.
Yes. You should have said, American Horror Story or something. I would have been on it.
Kathy Bates. And she actually, the real Molly Brown, kind of looks a little bit like Kathy Bates. She was also, known as, a hero of, the disaster.
She does look like her.
And, I think she was on another ship that sank. And she, organized all this shit afterwards. And she was, really pissed off that she didn't get to, testify and, the hearing the inquiry afterwards because she was a woman.
She's giving me Kathy Bates and Nanny McPhee vibes.
Right? With the hat?
Yeah, that's what mm-hmm. I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. And she was a new money millionaire because her husband had made it. I think she was a widow, maybe. But her husband had recently come into a huge sum of money. And then she was
just... couldn't testify. I mean, she was a survivor.
Yeah, I think it was just to figure out what happened. They were just we need to hear from all the survivors and figure out exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And she was like, I can tell you what happened. And they're like, we don't want to hear from you.
Actually, no.
Just the men, actually. And she's like,
Women? I don't think so.
They're like, most of the men died.
Yeah, women and children got boarded first.
I know. Molly Brown's over here knowing what is happening. Macy's owner, Isidore Strauss, was on board with his wife, Ida. They both died. I know. R.I.P. The grandson of Pillsbury founder John S. Pillsbury was on don't know the grandson's name. I just put the grandson of the Pillsbury man. He was honeymooning with his new wife. Aww. I know. I think he died, too.
You think?
I didn't write it down. Sorry. I just wrote the grandson.
That will be forever in anticipation just wrote of it.
The grandson of John S. Pillsbury.
Aww.
It's on here.
I love their biscuits.
I know. I love the little Pillsbury Doughboy.
Also, this is just such a random assortment of, like, billionaires and millionaires.
I know. I know. What is the Pillsbury Doughboy?
What kind of little puffy guy.
What kind of entity is he?
Isn't he like the son of the Michelin tire dude?
Who is his mother?
the one from the marshmallow guy from Ghostbusters. And the Michelin tire guy. And the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Who carried him?
One of them. I don't know their gender. I'm just assuming.
Okay. They did it like the seahorses. Seahorses or, aren't clownfish the ones that can, like, change gender if they need to?
I don't remember. I know, like, the seahorses, like, the man gets pregnant. The male, I should say. It's not a man. The male
seahorse. The man seahorse.
He's just a masculine.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Sorry, R.I.P. grandson of John S. Pillsbury. But I mean, he's certainly dead now.
But may the Pillsbury Doughboy live on forever.
It does live on in his honor.
Thank you,
honor.
Michelin Tire Man and Ghostbusters Marshmallow Guy.
I mean, he was certainly the heir to the Pillsbury fortune, right? Had to have been.
An at heir, least one of them.
At least a part of the Pillsbury fortune.
He didn't even get a chance to make babies. That's what the honeymoon was for.
Oh,
crap.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Enough of that.
Anyway.
Okay. On April 15th, 1912, so 4 days after setting off, which means Jack and Rose have had a four-day, maybe a three-day, truly, because, like, a day to, like, be on the ship, and, like, he saw her, and, like, I don't even know. I feel like it was, like, maybe 2 days that they, like, got together.
Her as one of right?
Like,
French girls.
Like, it's very quick, like, they're, like, there. I think he sees her the first night. And then, like, the second night, he, like, saves her from, like, trying to jump over the side of the ship. And then, like, maybe the third day, he talks to her on the boat. On the deck. And then, like, the fourth day, he draws her naked. I don't know. There's a lot. There's not a lot of time.
It's
happening.
Like Romeo and Juliet all I over know. Again, kind of.
How old is Jack supposed to be, you think?
Around the same age.
I hope so. Oh my gosh, what if he's like 27 and she's like 17?
She had me looking up all this stuff.
I know.
I'm gonna get like on Facebook and it's just gonna be Titanic merch.
I used to have a great Titanic
He was
shirt.
17 at the time.
Oh wow. Wait, he was or Leonardo DiCaprio was?
He was.
Okay.
We don't know about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Good.
Because we know how he works.
That's true. I mean,
sorry.
He's got his
biased opinion in mind.
He has his types. We'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's April 15th. Jack and Rose have just had sex for the first time in a abandoned car. Sorry, a car. It's not abandoned. It's a car that's in storage.
I mean, technically, I guess, afterwards.
And at 11:40 p.m., sorry, it's the 14th, I lied. That means there's only 3 days. Oh my gosh.
You were just back up.
Back it up. It's 11:40 on April 14th. Lookout Frederick Fleet spotted an iceberg directly ahead of the Titanic and alerted the bridge. So the ship was ordered to be steered around the iceberg. And the engines were reversed, which I assume means, like, stopped and then put in.
Back that thing up.
You know. You know how everyone listening can see what I'm doing? Put into reverse. Anyways, obviously it hit the iceberg anyways. The iceberg struck on the starboard side, which is the right side, as we all know. Ship terms.
Obviously. I should know that. At least it wasn't the bridge.
The bridge. The bridge. I actually don't know what the bridge is. I just wrote down
that. I just like that you said it like that. The internet
said. And apparently, it dented the hull in such a way, like, it didn't, like, rip a hole in it. It just dented it in such a way that the seams buckled. And water just poured into all of these watertight compartments. Mm. Five of them flooded. And as we all know, thanks to Silver Fox, Thomas Andrews. I'm going to look up that actor so you know who I'm talking about. She could stay afloat with four, but not five. Mm. So, she began sinking. And by she, I mean the Titanic. So she was sinking bow first, which means head first. And then I wrote general mayhem ensued, but I don't think that's really quite correct. The crew wasn't adequately trained for an emergency, so they didn't know how many people the lifeboats could hold. So they were just, like, putting people in, and they were like, this looks about right.
Like, guesstimating.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, in a panic, too. So yeah. They're just piling they're into like, there.
That looks fine. They were sending lifeboats out, like, 60% full. And they were just like, this looks fine. Go on down. Plus, there weren't enough lifeboats. Plus, third-class passengers were just kind of left
discarded
to fend for themselves. Per my nice little monologue about the Irish lady with her children. 2.5 hours after hitting the iceberg, the ship broke in half. And then very quickly sank after that. Anyone remaining on the ship at that point was plunged into the water, which was 28 degrees Fahrenheit. Oof. Is that right? Wait, I might have written that down wrong. That's below freezing. It couldn't be that cold. It would be ice. Maybe it was 28 degrees. Wait, okay.
Don't question yourself.
Someone fact check that.
In your life, it's freezing cold.
They were plunged into very cold water. Mm-hmm. Water that was so cold, I didn't write this down, but I remember reading it. You essentially died within like 15 minutes just from the coldness of the water.
And this is why anytime I'm on a cruise, I'm just drunk the whole time because if something like this happened, my little rosacea will kick in.
I was going to say, warm. The alcohol raises your body.
Because I am drinking wine right now and I'm sweating.
I know, I'm so hot too. It's fine. I've turned my AC down like as low as it'll go. Only five people in the water were pulled into lifeboat, like were rescued from the water.
Only five?
Only gosh. Five. So everyone else in the water died. They had sent up distress signals, but it was 4 a.m., nearly 2 hours after the ship had sunk, before the RMS Carpathia arrived to rescue the survivors. And in total, 1,517 people died. It was the deadliest sinking of a single ship at the time, and it remains the deadliest peacetime sinking of an ocean liner. Which, there is a Wikipedia page that is, like, deadliest, I don't know, like, man-made disasters. It's horrible.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, just if you...
dedicated to it?
Yeah, because, like, if you, like, on the Wikipedia page for the Titanic, if you click on the little link that says, like, deadliest peacetime sinking of an ocean liner, it takes you to that page, because I was like, oh, what's the... Like, there's some stipulations to that. So then it'll just tell you, like, what's the deadliest all-time boat disaster ever? And it was, like, 5,000 people. And I was like, oh, my God!
Where was Titanic on that? Did it even make the top 10?
It was like third or fourth. And a lot of them were, they didn't know exact numbers because some of these happened and they had a bunch of stowaways. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't know exactly how many people died. But it was like everyone on board died.
Yeah.
But so they were like everyone plus approximately like 1,000 stowaways or something. And I was like, ooh.
That's a lot.
I know. It's terrible. Okay. Well, you ready to hear some conspiracy theories?
Absolutely. Okay. That is what I'm here for. It was just the other day we were talking about it at our gym that we go to. All of our, like, we were talking about Oh, I can't think of it now. I'm on the spot. Like, what is it called whenever, like, you think something is one way and mm-hmm. then it's actually a whole nother way?
A conspiracy? I don't know.
Like Chick-fil-A.
Uh-huh.
And how everyone thought it was just C-H-I-C.
Oh, really, like,
it's spelled with a K at the end of chick.
Oh, what is that called?
It's right on the tip of my tongue. I know. But I can't think about it because I'm on the spot about
the Mandela effect?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Like, we're talking about the Bernstein Bears. Oh, my gosh. Now it's actually Bernstein and
I don't believe that.
I don't either. It's fake.
Yeah.
Or, like, Star Wars, I am your father. He never says that.
No.
I'm like, that is, like, the slogan of Star Wars.
I know.
So.
I know. I feel like there were some parts in Titanic that I remembered, I thought I remembered so clearly
mm-hmm.
that were slightly different from that.
I was just watching the Peter Pan live action. Like, do you remember?
Oh my gosh, the one with that kid that you're like had a huge crush on.
Dude, at
how
the
often
time,
do you watch that?
It just came on Netflix the other day, and now I'm like, I'm in the hook now. Like,
you're in the hook.
We matured. Arg. And, you know, I was watching that, and I could have sworn that Peter Pan comes back and sees Wendy as, like, an older woman sitting in that chair
mm-hmm.
right next to the window, and he comes and looks at her. But that didn't happen in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I could have sworn, like, he comes back, and she's sitting, like, how the mother was in that chair
yeah.
waiting for her children, and she's, like, this older woman, but that didn't happen. And I could be wrong. I could be, like, completely wrong or just thinking about a whole nother movie. But I thought it did. And it didn't happen in that, at least the Netflix version.
I had that happen. We watched The Patriot.
Okay.
That movie with Mel Gibson mm-hmm. and Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it with my parents a couple weeks ago. And granted, I haven't seen that movie in, like, I don't know, 15 years probably. Because I forgot a shit ton of stuff that happened in that. But at the very end, and it's, like, about the Revolutionary War, which, like, I sort of know what happens, and I feel like I know more about what happens because of Hamilton, the musical.
Don't even start with Hamilton. I already know.
But I had this very clear memory, like, at the end, there's, like, this battle happening, and, like, the Americans are losing, and I was like, we're losing. They're going to, like, go over this hill, and then, like, the French army is going to be there. I'm, like, pretty sure. I'm, like, positive. I'm not pretty sure. I'm positive they're going to come over this hill, and the French army is going to be there because they've been referencing the French this whole,
right.
like, throughout the whole movie. They've been dropping little things. The French army is going to be there, and, like, it's going to be they're going to help us win. That never fucking happened. And I was so convinced. I was Googling after during the credits, I was
like, I feel like I'm correct. Am I correct?
It was like 11:30 p.m. I was at my parents' house. My parents are like ready for bed, and I'm like Googling what are other movies about the American Revolution because I was
that
like,
it
I
could
know,
be.
I know. I was like, I know I've seen this happen.
That's how I felt too. I was like, do I need to Google this?
Or you're like other Peter Pan movies,
but I was like, I already know this is Mandela effect. Don't play with me. Like, I'm not going to Google
but
it. How
did
I know
it get
in
your brain? I mean, that happened in the book, right? Peter Pan, the actual story,
it's
right?
It's been a long time. I have been reading very bad Peter Pan.
I know you have.
At the Never King. It's so good.
Children, don't Google that.
Sponsor me.
Young listeners,
don't Google this thing. Mature audiences only. Rated R.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, I usually give a episode rating at the beginning of this, based on, like, the content of the story.
Right.
So, like,
I was about to say, I think I remember when I was listening to your other podcast, you were always like, also, warning.
Yeah. Well, like, last week's episode was about, like, a really terrible serial killer. And I was like, this is more of, like, an MA-17, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I listened to that one.
Because, like, Dante, who's 9 or 10, who's Jarek's nephew, who's, like, in town now, like, he'll sometimes listen
yeah.
with Jarek's mom. And so I was just, like, at the beginning, I'm like, oh, Stephanie, if you're listening, like, don't let Dante listen to this one. It's not, you know.
Thank you.
Don't want to get to a part where I'm like, and then her internal organs were cut out and eaten.
Warning.
So this isn't one of those in content.
I mean, if content's you have fine. A severe fear of water and drowning.
Yes.
Like, and maybe cold.
Yeah, true.
I fear the cold as well.
I love the cold. Hate the water. I hate the ocean, and I hate any natural body of water.
Okay, so I'm okay in the water, but the minute that I can't see my feet is when I start to freak out. I'm just like, what am I stepping on? Especially if I'm just kind of like swimming there, mm-hmm. and my feet are like dangling. I'm just kind of like, anything could rub them on. And it only took one time. I stepped on a dolphin.
Oh my God!
And listen, and my big toe went in the
Stop
hole.
Stop it, God!
And it freaked me out so much. I was running back to the shore. I thought it was a shark or something. And I was like, I just penetrated this dolphin's breathing hole. I was like 11 years old. And ever since then, I'm like, I don't know what I'm touching. Don't laugh at me. It was traumatic, okay? It was. Oh my God. And then I found out about stonefish.
What the?
And things like that. And it just got worse. Sorry if I caught everybody off guard.
I can't stop thinking about the
little 11. You're crying. Oh my gosh, she has tears down her face right now.
Oh my gosh, you didn't have to say the part about your toe. Your toe wouldn't do it below.
But you know, dolphins are very horny sexual creatures.
Oh, I know they are.
No, I probably did it a favor.
You probably did. Good thing you got out of there, though.
Dude, I was frightened.
I was like, my toe went into something, and it was slippery, and it was wet. How deep was the water that you were in?
I mean, I wasn't that deep, but I was, like, swimming where, like, I couldn't touch my feet in the water. So I was, like, past the like, the waves splashing and stuff. And I went to move, and my feet were, like, down.
And your toe just went to blow.
Because, you know, around here especially, the dolphins come so close. Like, I remember my mom wanted to take me to a swimming with the dolphins somewhere, and I was like, no. I like dolphins, though, but I don't want to swim with them anymore. I feel like they took advantage of me, honestly.
I honestly feel like I need to hire someone, like an artist, to like... I'm going to get AI to draw a picture of you.
Little baby Hannah. Run it out of the water.
Just with your toes stuck in a dolphin's blowhole. And the dolphin's like just as surprised as you are.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm already hot. Like, you're killing me right now.
That's the funniest thing I've heard.
I just feel like you weren't ready for that story.
I was not ready for it.
I'm sorry for springing that on you like that.
The stepping on the dolphin was funny enough, and then when you said that your toe, I can't.
And you know, I'm like 11, so I'm not fully formed, so it was just a little big toe.
How big are their blowholes?
Big enough.
The size of an 11-year-old's big toe.
Big enough. I was more worried about, like, my toenail scratching it afterwards. I was like, I hope I didn't hurt it. And as I grew up, I was
you
like...
You realized that it wasn't your fault.
They took advantage of me.
You realize that you shouldn't be worried about about the dolphin. You should have been worried about yourself.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So the ocean is very scary.
Yes. I'm glad you're on my team. Katie loves the ocean.
I love it too, but
no.
Would I want to go play in it and not be able to see my... Like, we went to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loved it. I could see my feet. I could see all the water.
Loved it. Could see my feet.
It was great.
Would recommend.
10 out of 10. But
could see my feet.
What we have here in North Carolina?
Murky.
No.
Don't love.
No. Especially like the Neuse River.
Oh. Brown.
It's like literally the nastiest river that you could ever be in.
Very gross. Agreed.
Anyways. Back to it.
One of my first conspiracy theories was like a dolphin did it.
Do you remember those dolphins jumping around the beginning? It's their fault.
I also just realized I should have used these photos. I should have told you that these were like people on the Titanic. They're not. They're pictures I got.
I would have totally believed
you. I know.
I would have been like, that's a little Irish kid.
I'd be like, this is that silver fox I was telling you about. Oh my gosh. Okay.
It took a lot for me to come out with my dolphin story.
Okay. So I have two categories of conspiracy theories that I'm going to tell you about. The first one I'm calling plausible theories that are just about details of the disaster. So these are ones that I think are actually true.
Okay.
And they're not really conspiracies. They're really just like, here's some things that I think they tried to cover up.
If you deliver it correctly to me, I will believe anything you say. I watched this one about Flat Earth, and I was totally into it. I was like, oh my gosh, they're correct.
You're like, now I'm a Flat Earther.
They're right. I mean, obviously, I know that's not true, but they were, like, having me, like, feeling weird.
I love when conspiracy theories do that. Like, like we did a two-parter on JFK, the JFK assassination, and by the end of it, I was like, well, damn, I guess the CIA killed JFK. I guess probably, it's true, because I don't know. The second category is going to be actual conspiracy theories, like less plausible, kind of all over the place ones. There is one, maybe not.
The cat
dinner. I was going to say, there's one that I actually think is true, and then I remembered that it's actually not true. Whatever. Okay.
Could be.
Who knows?
We weren't there.
Dun, dun, dun. That we know of. Past life.
It's the cat. I'm so mad at Rose.
Okay. First theory. The Titanic did not hit an iceberg. It hit pack ice.
Okay.
Slightly different. I mean, like, big different.
Tell me the difference.
Okay. Iceberg, big, tall.
Right.
Pack ice, small.
What?
Pack ice is like what you see the polar bears hanging out on. Like, just, like, ice that's, like, broken up.
Just, like, very strong.
Yeah.
Held together.
But, like, flat.
Okay. Does it go down like an iceberg, though?
No.
Okay. It's just hard.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So, according to Captain L. M. Collins's book, which is called, I love this title, The Sinking of the Titanic, The Mystery Solved.
He did it.
It was me. 'Twas me. Which also, like, was there a mystery about it? Are we questioning?
I mean, there was a whole trial. I mean, it's just like the moon landing. Did it happen? We don't know.
Do we? Okay. So according to this guy in his book, if the ship had hit an iceberg at the speed that it was going and at the angle that it said that it had hit, basically the ship would have, like, had a lot more damage to it, and it would have, like, capsized and, like, sunk way faster. It's something that has to do with, like, kinetic energy and, like, physics and, like, pivoting. So, like, and I read these parts of the book, but it's like, hold on, let me see if I can, like, oh, I'll use this walrus. He's like ship shaped.
What is that made of?
Wood, I think. Oh, no, wait. Ooh, I don't know. Maybe wood.
Do you hear that? Feels like hard plastic, almost like the stuff that they use with the 3D printer.
Yeah, but, like, he kind of looks like he has folds in him, so I don't know. He's nautical-y looking. Okay.
He's really cute, though.
Yeah, I got him for $2. So let's pretend that the and skull...
a skeleton with a little Christmas bow on the top of its head.
Okay, so the skull is the iceberg, and this is the ship.
Okay.
I'm going to turn him this way.
Thank you for being a kindergarten teacher.
You're
to
welcome.
Me.
I have to make sure I understand it, too. So if they were headed straight and then they turned to, like, try to avoid it, so what we are told happened is that they turned and then just, like, scraped along the side of it and, like, carried on. But what this guy is saying is, like, due to physics, like, if this ship, I guess the way that, like, ships are powered is, like, from the back. So if they had turned and then hit this ship, they would have, like, continued to, like, pivot around it or, like,
that kind of makes turned. Sense. Yeah.
I don't know. They would have, like, kept turning or, like, kept, I don't know. They wouldn't have just,
like if
you're slided up against it and kept going.
Like, if you're on rollerblades, okay, uh-huh, and then you grab onto something, mm-hmm, you hit something, you kind of grab it, you could start to go around that object.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that. And he also described it as, like, a school bus that I guess is powered from, like, if the back wheels are the only thing that are going, and it hits something from the front, like, it hits something at the front, like, the front side, it's not just going to scrape up against it. The back wheels are going to keep going, and that front part is going to kind of, like, guide it around.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, that's what would have happened. It wouldn't have just, like, scraped up against it and then, like, kept going straight.
Okay.
And if it had gone all the way around it, it would have caused a lot more damage, and it basically would have sunk in, like, 30 minutes instead of 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Glad my visuals worked for one person.
No, I like that. Instead of... I like the walrus and the skull.
Thank you. So, also, to this point, the night of the accident was moonless, clear, and with calm seas, yet the two lookouts on duty just 10 minutes before they reported the iceberg said that they saw what they believed was haze on the horizon. And Collins, the guy who wrote the book, believes that they weren't seeing haze on the horizon, but they were actually seeing pack ice. And they just didn't know that that's what it was. So also, he says that each witness or crew member gave different descriptions of the iceberg. So the lookouts, who were, like, higher up, said that it was 60 feet high. The quartermaster, who was on one of the decks, said that it was 100 feet high. And the fourth officer, who was on a different part of the deck, said that it was very low in the water. And apparently, there's a phenomenon that can happen in extremely cold temperatures where the appearance of an object near the waterline is distorted and it makes it appear to be the height of the ship's lights.
No, because I don't know why, but that, I just kind of associate it with, like, you know, like on a super hot day, mm-hmm, and you're driving and then you're going up a hill and it looks like water.
Yeah, like a mirage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, but my brain connected those two, because why on a hot day would it make that and not on a super freaking cold night?
I don't know. And I couldn't understand enough about why the cold made it, something about cold and the lights and something.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, the reflection off the water and the,
yeah,
light coming from it.
And he said, like, the lights on the ship were, like, 60 feet near the bow and 100 feet, like, at a different part of the ship. So it would make sense if there were lights coming from those heights that if you were at a certain part of the ship that, like, that object would look that tall.
Yeah. Look bigger than it is because it's, yeah, reflecting.
But also, I'm like, if it was just pack ice and it was, like, just hanging out low to the water.
Yeah. I could understand if maybe there was, like, a mound above it, like, yeah, an iceberg.
I wonder if it was just, like, really far reaching, like, it, if it was, like, if it stretched out for a long way and what they were seeing was, like,
kind of like a shadow.
Yeah, or, like, what was really far away, they were seeing, like, that reflection and they thought that it was high up instead of far away.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. This guy said that it made sense.
Well, I mean, he has the answers.
He solved the mystery. So, there's that. Okay, so that's theory number one, which has no bearing on anything. Whether they That's why these are first, because it's like, whether... It's like,
okay, maybe,
but... Yeah. But it's also like, well...
Makes you question
it, doesn't though. Change anything, also. Like, whether they hit an... It would change the movie, obviously, because...
Stop going back to the movie.
The movie is a masterpiece
it's
and a work
so
of art.
It's so factual.
And there's... You can look up, if you Google the iceberg that sunk the Titanic, there's a picture of it. Of the one that they think did it. Which, how? I like to think that someone on, like, the Carpathia or, like, some other ship was just like, well, there's an iceberg nearby. Let's take a picture of it and...
Let's take the 20-minute photo that it takes us to do. Let's go under our cloth. We don't need to evacuate.
Yeah, these people can wait a minute.
Let's go under our fabric sheet this here and stay still. Don't move.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, theory number two. Captain Smith, Edward John Smith. Don't forget his really interesting names. Was
basic names.
He was under pressure to set a speed record, which is why, I don't know if I mentioned this, they were traveling really fast, which was one of the problems.
At a whopping 23 miles per hour. Yeah.
They were traveling really fast. They were traveling at full speed when they encountered the iceberg. And they had been warned about icebergs in the area. And even with the warnings, they didn't slow down. So that part is fact. And then I think because they were going so fast, when they saw the iceberg, even though they, like, reversed the engines, they, like, couldn't slow down enough in time.
Right.
So one of the theories is, like, the reason they were going so fast is because he was trying to set a speed record. Or, alternately, he was trying to impress the owner, or the CEO, of the White Star Line, whose name was Joseph Ismay, who was on board for the maiden voyage. Also jumped on the last lifeboat to save himself.
Rude.
Rude, you know. Also is in the movie. Not to keep bringing up the movie, but...
I will roll my eyes every time that you say the movie.
The movie leans into this theory because... There's a point where Ismay is talking to the captain and he's like, I've already proven her to be, like, the most luxurious ship. Now I want to prove that she's the fastest also. And the captain's like, oh, we don't need to. Like,
are you sure about that?
The You're captain's glad? Like, we're making fine time. Like, it's fine. And Ismay's like,
no.
No. Imagine the headlines we'd make if we showed up to New York early. And then later, the captain's like, you know what? I think I will try to show up to New York early. Full speed ahead! And then when they hit the iceberg, he's like, I think you'll get your headline after all. Dun, dun, dun. James Cameron is just a genius. We should be watching this movie together, Charlie.
I know. We need to get the projector screen that you're talking about. Do you want more wine? I'll pour it for you.
Yes, please. Sorry, I started thinking about the dolphin again.
It was swallowed.
Oh my god.
Stop. Don't talk about it with me. I can't.
I'm gonna
stand
Google
here.
How likely it is that you step on a dolphin.
I'm the only person in the world.
Probably are. If not, I bet there's a very small community that you could find support.
Talk
in.
About my trauma. No, I'm not making fun of trauma, but that was scary. Whenever I was like 11, and then ever since I've been so scared. Whenever like I'm walking and I can't see my feet, I'm like, what is underneath me? And I found about stonefish and jellyfish.
Okay,
and
wait, what are stonefish?
They're super poisonous. Like, they're next to, like, those tiger fish or whatever.
Oh, like
called.
The lionfish?
Lionfish, sorry. They're next to that, but they hang out near the coast.
Ew.
And they look like a stone. That's why they're called stonefish. Oh. They look like just a rock. And if you touch it,
you die.
D-E-D.
Dead. Oh, God. Really?
Well, close to it, you get super... Like, if you don't get help, like, instantly...
Oh, no. you're like jellyfish.
Yeah, they actually, at the aquarium near us, they have the lionfish and the stonefish in the same little circular thing. They're hoping they kill each other. Right next to the jellyfish.
Oh, no.
Right next to the jellyfish. That's like their little...
They're like, here's three things that could kill you. Hey, go,
children. You ready for this?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to look at that next time we go there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so scared of everything. So, like, I'm laughing hugely at you with your dolphin thing. But, like,
if that happened to you...
No. I mean, like, the scariest thing that ever happened to me, I got so scared of the ocean for, like, such a smaller thing and then never went back in. My thing was that I was boogie boarding and I was out too far to touch. And then I just saw a jellyfish floating next to me and freaked out.
It was probably like a little jelly. Like, not a
full... It was like I could just see the head of it, obviously. Like, not like...
It was probably just one of the jellies.
Whatever. It freaked me out. And I couldn't, like... Because, like, the tide or whatever, you can't, like, really control how well you...
This is nothing compared to my...
I know! And then after that, I never went that deep.
Have you ever, like, been out there and, like, some seaweed,
oh,
like,
God,
brushes your leg? Oh, my gosh. It's, like, the scariest... It's, like, the scariest...
I know! Scariest.
It's, like, the dolphin's back.
He's found you.
He's coming back for more.
And don't dolphins live, like, a long time? I bet that dolphin's still alive.
Yeah, I think they live, like, 20, 30 years. I mean, I'm not an expert. Don't quote me on that.
That dolphin was probably young when he stepped in it.
He was probably looking for love.
And it's probably still alive. Still trying to find you.
For you, girl.
Every time you go to the beach, it can sense that you're there.
Ooh. I'm never going back whenever I'm on my lady time.
I'm going to watch out for Sophia, too.
My daughter into this.
She's going to take your firstborn.
It's Rumpelstiltskin. No! He's got to spin the wheel. I hate you so much right now. You had to bring Sophia into this? Our baby child?
I know. I'm sorry. I'll protect her. I'll never let her go to the beach with you ever.
That's what I'm saying. Not with the jellies there.
I'll just keep her away from it. I'll make her scared of everything like me.
Please don't.
I'm so terrified of passing all my anxiety onto my children.
They'll be fine.
Oh, man.
They'll be fine. They'll just be very...
Well, they're going to have a dad that's, like, not scared of anything. He's, like, the opposite of me.
Like, he's going to be like, come on down here, let's do my dumb Dungeons and Dragons and talk about dragons and goblins.
I know.
Killing people.
He's the dad that, like, if my kid was like, I'm scared of the ocean, he would, like, throw them in to be like, there's nothing to be scared of here, and, like, toss them in.
That's where I come in, and you'll just see me, like, in the panoramic, running and tackling him.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, let's not like... forget about the cheese.
Yeah. I'm also very scared of having a boy because the boy that I am married to is the boy that like gives himself like a horrendous slice on the hand and then is like, it's fine, I don't need stitches.
Literally fine. Don't worry about me. I'm just super gushing fine. Blood.
He did something the other day. Oh, he was fixing our neighbor's bike for her, and he like put it down and got like stabbed in the ankle with like the I don't know, some rusty part of it because he came in and was like, get that first aid kit. And fitness. I was like, it's a good thing that you already sliced your hand open on our rusty washing machine and had to get a tetanus shot. Like, 4 weeks ago, because you, otherwise...
I haven't had a tetanus shot in forever.
You can get them at the pharmacy, by the way. You don't have to go to a doctor.
For free?
It was free for us. And we had health insurance. It was free on his health insurance, which is through Melvin. Mm. So, I don't know. I don't know what kind of health insurance y'all got. But maybe. Surely.
Do I need a tetanus shot, just in case I'm chaotic like Jared is?
Maybe. He said when we had it done, he said, I can give this to you because you haven't had one in 10 years. But if you're getting it because of an injury, I am obligated to tell you that you should go to a doctor. But I can still give it to you. And we're like, I have to tell you,
but I will still inject you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've had one in 10 years. But I also...
Do you have a fear of needles?
No.
Really? Mm-hmm. With how anxious you are, I thought for I sure know. You'd be like... I remember, what do I have? I have an implant in my arm.
Oh, okay.
For birth control. It's mm-hmm. expired, so fingers crossed that nothing happens. But... What?
I've heard of people that... Isn't that a thing now? People just leave them in for longer?
Yeah.
I think you're fine.
But, my mom went with me. My mm-hmm. mom is terrified of needles, right? Mm-hmm. And this thing is a little bit thicker, so they have, like, thicker needles. So they numb me up first, and I got the thicker needle. My mom collapsed And I think when I first got it, I was 19 when I got pregnant. 18, 17. So I was 16 mm-hmm. when I first got it. So it was, like, about my junior year of high school. And, my mom's going to come with me.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there, like, happy-go-lucky. I'm just chilling, right? Because I am not afraid. Like, I'm not afraid of needles. And she is, like, slumped in the chair.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, she's, like, a drunk woman that just walked in and passed out. That is what she looked like.
Wow.
And I was like, do we need to check on her? And the nurse was like, nah, we've seen it. She'll be fine.
Well, we'll check on her later.
Whatever.
That's so funny.
So I'm surprised that you don't have it.
Yeah, it's weird the things that make me anxious. Like, when I first started giving blood, I found out that I'm okay with needles. Like, I thought that I would be, but as long as I don't watch it, as long as I'm, like, just look away from
it. But it's better for me to watch it so I can anticipate it.
As long as I look away from it and then I'm, like, just cover it, just put that little piece of gauze over it, then I'm good.
So, how long does it take you to give blood?
If I do the regular kind, like...
Yeah, I was about to say the normal amount.
Like, 15 minutes, maybe? Not very long.
So, I was in high school when I first gave blood. I have not given blood since.
Really?
It took me an hour and a half to give blood. Later, when I was pregnant, I learned I'm so iron deficient that I had to go in for iron transfusion.
Oh my gosh!
And I'm like, oh, maybe that's why it took me...
I didn't think they'd let you get blood if you were that iron deficient.
They didn't check. Oh, they just had high schoolers sign up for it and just... had us in, like, the gymnasium.
Jeez.
Yeah, so it took me an hour. But, I mean,
an hour and a half of class. Yeah, I
wasn't complaining. But, like, now I look back on it, I'm like, it's probably because I was always low on iron my whole life.
Good grief.
So, it's just, like, I look back on that, I'm like, well, yeah. I guess I really can't give blood.
Yikes. Well, I mean, you could start taking iron pills.
I can't. My stomach won't let me.
Oh.
They're so harsh on my stomach.
Dang. That sucks.
It's like iron pills or Geritol. And Geritol is liquid iron.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
It tastes like ass. It tastes so bad. It tastes so bad. And I remember when I was pregnant, they had me taking Geritol, right? Uh-huh. So I was working an office job at the time, so I would sit there and have a Dr. Pepper and some peanut butter. I'd take the shot of Geritol, I'd get a spoonful of peanut butter, rub it on my tongue, and wash it down. It was so gross. Like, even that combination is gross, but it was better than the taste of Geritol.
Ew.
And it's like what the older people take as well.
Gross.
So I'm like, I feel bad for everybody that has to deal with this.
Ew. The only thing I can't really take is, it's not iron, it's, what's the stuff you're supposed to take to, like, boost your immune system?
Oh, gosh. I can never think of stuff put on the spot.
It's like another thing, like iron. It's like another metal.
Megan was telling me to take, wasn't it like zinc or something?
Zinc. That's what it is. Because it's like, something about that pill. It gets just like stuck in my throat.
Yeah, because when I got super sick, like last month or whenever I did, I couldn't perform.
When you died.
Yeah, when I was dead and wanted to die. Went to hospital with a fever of like 105. I was like practically... deceased, according to TransUnion.
Not funny, but you know.
No, not. I felt like it though.
Not funny then. A little funny now.
I was, and Megan's just calling me on the phone. We sat on the phone for like an hour and a half. She's like, why don't you just take zinc? I'm just like, you know what?
Or magnesium. That's her other thing.
Yeah, like something magnesium. Else. I'm just like, you know what? It's a little late for that now. I'm already You're dying. Like, like, I feel like crap. And you know, they told me it was an like, it didn't have a name for the virus. Like, it was an unknown virus.
Unknown virus.
And I'm like, I was calling my mom. I was like, if I turn into a zombie, your patient zero. I'm sorry. If I'm the start of the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, what we're saying is that if everyone else gets this weird virus, this
please
is
be careful here. Because that was not fun. I mean, I didn't have any effects other than a fever and tremors. And it was
and
ridiculous.
That you were sick for like 2 weeks.
I was out you for were... the count. I couldn't even perform in our gym showcase. Like,
well,
I
mean, that's not like a small thing though. You're like, I couldn't even do this very strenuous exercise performance.
It was important to me.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, really? It was just annoying at that point. I was able to attend because my fever had been broke for over 24 hours.
Weren't you in the
hours.
Opening?
I was, but I just you sat were... there. I sat there and pretended to be a drunk pirate.
That's great, though.
Anyways, back to our ship.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a pirate, arg. You like that transition?
That's good. That's
Thank
good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, back to our speed record. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we're on the theory that Captain Smith was trying to set a speed record.
Right.
Okay, the reason why we think that this is not true. Official records show that the Titanic was built for luxury, not speed.
Right.
Which, fun fact, you can get a...
We can see in the watch. In the movie.
No. I was going to say, you can get a sweatshirt or a t-shirt from our Redbubble store that says, not built for beauty or speed. That has a Sasquatch on it that I drew.
Cute. You should also have one that says, also, in the movie.
In Titanic. It says, I'll make some Titanic merch. You're very loud with that. Derek was worried about the crunching and you're just like
I'm aggressive to get the cheese that he's cut.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So there was also a miners' strike going on. So the original plan for the voyage had been to set sail at half speed. Ooh. I guess because there wasn't enough coal.
So like 10 miles per hour.
Yeah, which super slow. I guess if you have paid $92,000 and you're just, like, going to be spending...
If we're there for luxury,
the
I
whole
mean.
Time in luxury, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
But there was also a really good explanation for why Captain Smith felt like he needed to go at full speed. And this was because there was a fire on board.
I think I remember reading something about that. Like, there was with yeah. the... Down in the... Where they were shoveling the coal in, right?
Yes! Down in the... I have coal bunker. I always thought it was the boiler room, but I wrote coal bunker.
Down in the down.
Down in the downstairs. It had been burning for 10 days before the ship even left port. And it was still burning when they left, which apparently was pretty common. Like, coal fires on mm-hmm. ships were, like, normal, which is why they were just like,
because they're just, like, shoveling that crap in yep. as fast as they can to get the boat.
Yeah, and so the best way to put out a coal fire is to just use the burning coal. Like, they're like, this coal's burning, throw it in the furnace, yeah. we'll just use it. And so they were like, we have all this coal that's on fire, we have to get rid of the fire, so we will throw it into this furnace that was, well, I guess, throw it into the steam engine boiler. So, like, their way of putting out the fire was to make the ship go faster. Was right. like to put the coal into the thing that made the ship go. So that's like kind of a reasonable explanation as to like why the ship was going so fast. It, also because it they sense. Wanted to like get to shore and put the fire out.
Like, we can't stand it down here. It's yeah, so hot. Like, please take us home.
Yeah, like, put the fire out by making the ship go faster, but also get to shore so we can put the fire out properly. Speaking of fire, our number three theory is that the coal fire caused structural damage to the ship. Which, this is the one that I think, well, I think all of these are true. Okay, in 2017, journalist Seenan, I think is how we are saying this person's name, Maloney, studied photographs of the interior of the Titanic just before she left port and identified 30-foot black marks along the front right-hand side of the hull, a.k.a. where the iceberg hit. I'm using iceberg in quotations now because was it an
questionable?
Iceberg? Questionable. So experts also confirmed that these black marks were likely caused from the coal fire and that they likely caused weakness or damage to the hull. Also, apparently, officers on board the Titanic were strictly forbidden from telling passengers about the fire, which, duh. Why would you be...
Surprise! For the 10th time today, there's a fire down here.
Also, like, why would that not be a rule? Like, we'd be like, hello, Mr. Andrews. Like, here's your brandy. Also, there's a coal fire downstairs.
Surprise!
First of all, they don't care. Second of all, you don't tell the rich people the bad stuff happening downstairs. Like, that's rule number one.
They don't care. They paid how many thousands of dollars to be here?
Like, that's rule number one of,
They're all we care about is our aesthetically pleasing, non-lifeboat-having ship.
Yeah, all we care is that the deck looks nice. Come on. So, also, last thing on this is that when the ship docked at Southampton, apparently I think I read this correctly and am translating it correctly. It, like, backed into port so that passengers couldn't see the fire damage.
Okay.
They were like, if we go in front ways, they'll see all this, like,
black
stuff. So we're just gonna, like, throw it in reverse and back it. Which...
Skirt!
Yeah. Which I'm like, I guess there's more than one way to get on the ship, but, like...
It makes sense, but also... Shouldn't you have prepared for this? I mean, they were all made with, like...
Yeah. I don't know. Or, like, make a pit stop and, like, scrub that shit off or something. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know. That seems sketchy as shit, but whatever. Last plausible theory. Love this. Harland and Wolff, so the company that built the ship, whatever,
right,
used wrought iron rivets... instead of steel rivets, to save money in the construction of the ship.
So what would be the difference between the two?
So steel rivets would be much stronger than wrought iron. Wrought iron would get, like, brittle in cold weather.
Mm.
And not to, like...
Like being in the cold and going across a cold ocean?
Yeah. And, like, not to draw, like, a direct correlation to, like, what just happened, but the owner of the submersible that just imploded used, I want to say fiberglass, but I keep thinking that's wrong. But he used, like, a cheaper material instead of steel to make his submersible.
Because he couldn't afford it with all the millionaires going
well,
down,
he
right?
himself was a billionaire. And he was like, I'm being innovative by using this, like... other material.
But is and it safe?
Pretty, and, like, they're investigating now, and, like, what they're leaning towards is, like, that's the reason it imploded, because it, like, cracked.
So innovative, using off-brand remotes. And...
yeah, so, like, just some more billionaires cutting corners and using cheaper products.
But what's new?
You know, it's been happening since 1912, apparently. Ooh. causing ocean disasters since 1912.
Oh.
Billionaires. I'm going to make that
copyright.
A slogan. Yeah. TM. Billionaires causing ocean disasters since 1912.
Yeah, I mean, I saw this graph that it was like 1912 deaths on the Titanic, and mm-hmm. it goes up, and then it's just like blank for a while, and then it goes 2023.
Oh, God. Five. Oh, no.
I mean, it was not funny. But it kind of, it was very accurate, I should say.
It wasn't funny,
I'm
but it was accurate.
I'm trying not to get you, like, demonetized.
I know, that's true. I know, to be clear.
Like, we are.
We're not laughing at people dying.
No, it's not funny.
It's not funny.
But the graph was pretty funny.
The graph was funny, I'm sure.
Two tragic incidences happening on the same part of the ocean.
Yes. I think it's important to comment on, like, the recklessness of billionaires mm-hmm. who are, like, never held accountable for their actions. Mm-hmm. Also, the fact that billionaires get to make all of the rules, like, in the world. Like, billionaires just get to make the rules because they have all the money. Yet billionaires tend to be very stupid and make stupid decisions, such as seeing a very, very dangerous opportunity and paying lots of money to do it.
And that's exactly why they do it. I mean, yeah. How did these billionaires get there? By cutting corners.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? So that's...
So that yeah. inherited.
And also, like, I mean... I feel like, well, not on the podcast, but, like, I've also been fairly clear, like, with everyone that I've talked to about, like, the one person I am very upset about is, like, the 19-year-old kid who was on the thing. Because, mm-hmm. like, whatever, he was...
I mean, none of those people got on hoping to...
Well, yeah. But they all, I mean, they did all sign a waiver that I'm sure said multiple times, like, you could die.
Yeah.
But I don't think they were all probably told the various ways that that company, OceanGate, like, cut corners.
And, yeah. Like that dodged safety regulations. You know?
So, like, yeah. Like,
and even if they were, a lot of people don't understand what the difference is between different types of metals that you yeah. use, what the type of pressure is, you know.
Yeah.
They don't do their research. They go and they're like, I want to see the Titanic in yeah. person.
That'd and if someone fun. Is like, this is a very safe way to do it, it's like... Well,
they're like, okay, I believe you.
Yeah. You so, know? Like, really f*** that one guy for lying to everyone.
For real.
And, like, knowingly endangering everyone. And f*** Harlandon Wolf for using wrought iron rivets.
Ugh.
Ugh. Okay.
The worst. More billionaires.
I know. Billionaires. So... In 1998, I'm going to mess up this word,
Do you want to show it to me? Show me the word.
Okay.
Metallurgist.
Metallurgist. I feel like I keep...
Metallurgist.
Someone who studies metals. Metallurgist. That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't. But we're just gonna roll with it.
Okay, a guy, some guy who studies metals. God, man,
don't get hung up.
Okay,
on it.
His name is Tim Thowick.
How'd you go from one hard word to another one like that?
Oh my gosh. Okay, this guy named Tim, who's really into metals, analyzed some rivet samples that were recovered from the Titanic wreckage by a robot, by the way, which is the safest way to recover things from the Titanic.
Yeah. Not humans.
No. Humans were not meant to be that deep. So the rivets, he analyzed...
Ah, Jesus fucking bitch.
What's wrong with you?
You chuck that walrus out of your head.
I know, I'm going to throw my wine at you. Go away. What do you want?
Nothing.
What a dick.
I know. I wish there was a lock on that door. Can't lock it.
We'll just pounded some, like, wood. Straight out of the zombie apocalypse.
Just every time we record.
It up. One of those, like, medieval ones that, like...
I should get one of those.
You can just have
lock myself in.
That'd come great if you had, like, an intruder or something.
That would be good, because I can lock that door.
Yeah, because I was about to say, that thing's got, like, a billion locks on it over only there. You got, like, three different types of deadbolts.
I was going to say, only three of them work. There's, the white one doesn't work, I don't think.
We can make it work.
Maybe. Well, maybe it does work. I don't know.
Put a nail file.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. The rivets. Back to the rivets. I'm going to think of how to say that word. I'm going to tell you on Wednesday.
Metallurgist.
That's really good for ASMR. Okay. So, the rivets were made of wrought iron instead of steel. And they contained 3 times today's allowable amount of slag, which is a glassy residue left behind after the smelting of iron ore.
Like, that's super cool. But, like, if you came up to me and called me a slag, I'd probably
spit in my face. Like,
what did you just call me?
First of all, I have called you worse things. Every time I call you.
Every time I see Hannah, all she does is flip me off and stares at me maniacally.
First of all, every time we see each other, it's like from across the room and you're busy.
I'm teaching. Yeah. And you flip me off in front of everybody.
Not in front of everybody. I do it very subtly. That's my way of saying hi. Instead of screaming across the room.
You could just say hi. It would hurt my feelings a lot less.
Liar. Liar.
And so then Hannah will get upset and be like, you didn't even say hi to me the other day. I'm like, well, you flipped me off. What do you want me to do?
I swear there was one day where you didn't even, like, make eye contact with me.
Probably because whenever you come, I am teaching classes. And if you don't say hi to me, I'm not even going to look at you. I don't even recognize that you're there.
Wow. Don't even recognize that I am there.
Like, Hannah goes out of her way and it's like, hey, baby. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Hi. I love
okay,
you so
shut
much.
Up. You guys are not...
She is such a liar. And then you just stare at me in my eyes and flip me off. And I'm so hurt.
No one listened to her. She's a liar.
You lie to your fans like that? What
I'm
a controversy.
I'm going to bring Hannah Cox in on this.
Do you guys hear this? She's going to have to do the ukulele song next.
First of all, you're slandering the other Hannah's name. You're slandering Hannah
Am
Two's
I?
Name.
Am I?
Hi, baby.
I will call her right now. Do not play with me.
Fine. I will give you a more loving gesture next time.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you a dolphin call next time.
I'll walk out of the studio. I'll walk out.
Okay, so the fact that they had more slag meant that they were more brittle in colder temperatures. So in theory, the reason for them being made out of wrought iron is because it was cheaper and it was a way to speed up the construction process to, like, get the ship done faster. However, Harland and Wolf have disputed this claim because of course they have. And they have insisted that it was because of a shortage in top quality iron at the time, as well as skilled laborers. Whatever the reason, it is a fact that the rivets sucked. And that it was, the rivets were a part of why.
The problem.
Yeah. So.
They're like, hi.
Hi, the rivets are the problem. It's them.
It's them.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that's the end of the plausible theories that have no bearing on, like,
no, but, anything. Like, really the rivets one, like, right? resonates with me, especially with them being in cold temperatures like that, and
right?
then choosing the one that doesn't do good
in
cold temperatures.
I
know! Like, it, even, so with the iceberg, I still am leaning towards the iceberg, but with the rivets being the way that they were, probably just made it even more possible for them hitting that iceberg and it splitting in half like that.
Yeah. It reminds me of, we did an episode on the Challenger conspiracy theories. And like...
Oh, that was so tragic.
I know.
Gosh.
But like, so like the conspiracy theory ended up being bullshit because it was like, the theory was that like none of the astronauts actually died and that they're all like still alive. But like then the truth of it was that NASA really knew that, like, it was that mission was actually really dangerous, and it was because the O-rings that were, like, integral part of the booster rockets were known to, like, fail in cold temperatures, and that particular launch day was, like, overnight had been the coldest that they'd ever had. Like, the overnight temperatures had been as
coldest
that they'd
had. But not
only
that, but, like, what if it launched, got into space... How cold do you think space is? Like, really?
Well, I don't think the booster rockets make it to space. This one was, like, overnight temperatures had been super cold. Like, there were engineers who were, like, the O-rings are going to fail because they've been sitting in these cold temperatures and they're brittle. So when you heat them up, they're not going to flex, they're going to crack, and then the booster rocket's going to explode. People at NASA were like, no, we think it's fine. And then it exploded and 7 people died. And so it's just like...
It's very similar.
Yeah.
Like the construction of these...
Yeah. It's like, just use better material.
Vehicles, I guess I'll call them.
Yes.
It's like, okay, but you kind of set yourself up for failure. If it wasn't then it would be.
Yeah.
You know, later.
Yeah. This is why I drive a Subaru now. Safest vehicle on the road.
Don't sponsor Subaru.
I actually just had to buy a new battery for it today.
But is it a hybrid?
It's a partial hybrid, actually. It's not really. It's a partial, like... It says a thing on the back that's like partial clean emissions or I don't know. It's got a little green thing on the back.
Clean emissions.
It says partial clean. I don't know. Whatever.
It's kind of better for
the environment. It's kind of better. I don't know. It gets good gas mileage. Okay. We are moving on to actual conspiracy theories. 3.5 hours later. Okay. You ready for number one? Conspiracy theory.
Bring it on me.
It was not an iceberg that sunk the Titanic. It was a German U-boat.
German.
Okay. This comes from the fact that apparently some survivors testified in a U.S. Senate inquiry that they heard 4 explosions in the bowels of the ship after the collision.
That is graphic.
Spit on my... Green. They heard the explosions after the collision with the iceberg. Several survivors also reported seeing searchlights in the distance while they were in the lifeboats, which they thought were from a rescue vessel, possibly the Californian. I don't know who she is.
The Californians. And the Germans.
But the captain of the Californian would later insist that the light had not been his and that there had been, quote, another vessel between his and the Titanic. And then several sailors on the Californian also said that they saw an unidentified vessel approximately 5 to 6 miles away until about 2 a.m. Apparently, German U-boats were scanning the North Atlantic at this time. And it would only be 3 years later in 1915 that a German U-boat would sink the Lusitania, which I'm going to test your U.S. history knowledge.
Don't.
You don't remember what the sinking of the Lusitania was?
It's been a while.
Okay. The Lusitania was a British luxury liner.
Like the Titanic.
Like the Titanic. So, in 1915... a German U-boat did sink a British luxury liner, and that, like, was a big part of World War One.
And it was a boat, it wasn't a submarine that did it?
It was a U-boat is a submarine.
Oh, well, yeah. There you go. Just shows how much I know.
Yeah, I don't know why they call them U-boats. Dad?
Underwater boat?
Yeah, maybe.
Potentially.
Or Dad?
Some crazy word. I mean, I did think that. I didn't think it was rotisserie.
Rotisserie. What is it? RMS? Rotisserie motor?
Meat.
Rotisserie meat.
Station.
Rotisserie meat station.
I mean, technically.
Technically. It is an underwater vessel. I am almost positive that my dad knows what U-boat stands for, and I'm just going to wait for him to listen to this episode and then tell me.
Tell us, Dad.
He's behind, so it'll be several weeks. So, Dad, what does U-boat stand for, please? Just text me. I will let everyone know in...
whenever you get to this part of the podcast.
5 to 7 weeks. I don't know. Because of all these things, some people theorize that the Titanic obviously did hit an iceberg or... something, because like there's still like,
but it could have helped
that
with the sinking.
Yeah, but like they think it hit something, but the damage wasn't enough to cause the ship to sink, and that a German U-boat either deliberately targeted or accidentally collided with the ship. However, it should be noted that in 1915, when the Lusitania was attacked, it sank. Sorry, I wrote tit sank.
I was wondering why you were laughing. I was like, what is so funny about that?
Sometimes my notes have typos in it, and sometimes they're funny. In 1915, not funny, thousands of losses of life here. In 1915, when the Lusitania was attacked, it sank in only 18 minutes, and the Titanic took, like, almost 3 hours to sink. So, probably not that.
Yeah, that's a reach.
But, like, what was the other vessel that everyone saw? Was it just a U-boat that was like, what's going on here?
They're just checking it out.
I'm just gonna see what's happening. Should I help anyone? No. Probably not. Okay, this is one of my favorite theories. Number two. J.P. Morgan. You familiar?
I feel like I know that name.
It's like a bank, I think. Right? Okay. Or like a... Maybe it's not a bank. It's like a... He's a bank person.
Okay.
Bank name. So the person, J.P. Morgan, deliberately caused this... Oh,
J.P. Morgan Chase.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. Chase.
They actually, I think they just renamed it to, J.P. Morgan Chase instead of just Chase Bank.
Oh, okay. So it is a bank. Or like a credit card company or something.
Something.
Okay. Well, the person, J.P. Morgan, was alive at this time. This theory says that he deliberately caused the sinking of the Titanic to ensure the success of the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank.
How does that correlate?
Okay, well... First of all, let me tell you that I did not actually really... I did look up and try to understand what the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank is and what it does. I didn't really understand it, so I will not try to explain it.
Okay.
It's somehow important, and we do have one. However, according to TitanicUniverse.com, reputable website... Okay.
We love a .com.
I love a... Yes. Okay. TitanicUniverse.com. A group of wealthy men who were also all secretly part of the Illuminati and also part of a Catholic order known as the Jesuits. I put that in there because I have to reference them later, and every time I say it, I feel like it's some... It sounds to me like it's some kind of, like, religious or racial slur. I don't think it is. I think it really is some kind of group, but whatever. Okay, so all of these men are allegedly part of the Illuminati and also Jesuits. They all meet in 1910 to plan the creation of the U.S. Federal Reserve, and J.P. Morgan is one of them, and he is extremely wealthy. Necessary to this plan is eliminating anyone... in power who would oppose their plan. And those people would be Benjamin Guggenheim, Isidor Strauss, and John Jacob Astor. And I don't know if you remember from 3 hours ago.
No, they were all on the ship.
They were all on the Titanic. Correct.
Look at me.
Look at you. I'm surprised you remember. It was in our time, very long ago, in podcast time.
We had like an hour and a half pee break.
We did.
Where we
just
ended up talking and showing hot men to each other.
We went through our husband reserve list and talked about a lot of stuff. It was great. Talked about the Skarsgård brothers in detail.
And how you had a dog with a lazy eye that looked like Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, Scoopert. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. So great memory. Guggenheim, Strauss, who owns Macy's, and Astor, whose wife survives. Right. We're very happy.
The pregnant one, right?
Yes. The pregnant one. Whose wife is in a delicate, what did we say? A delicate.
Delicate state.
State. Yes. Which is what I'm going to refer to myself as when I'm pregnant.
I'm in a delicate state,
guys. I can't.
It's too emotional.
Okay, so J.P. Morgan also happened to own the White Star Line. So he basically owned the Titanic. And he was able to convince Guggenheim, Strauss, and Astor to take the Titanic's maiden voyage to New York in 1912. And he was probably able to do this because Morgan was also planning on taking, or like planning on taking the trip. Like, he had a ticket. He was supposed to be on the trip.
Yeah, quotation mark.
And at the very last minute, he canceled for unknown reasons. Like, the day of, he was like, JK, I'm not going to go.
But he convinced his opposers to go.
He convinced these other men to go. So, according to this theory, these men, the Illuminati slash Jesuit conspirators, they also handpicked a, quote, I don't know what this means, Jesuit temper coadjutor, which I think just means, like, a Jesuit, like, friendly person, someone associated with them, to captain the ship.
Like,
so
a spokesperson, kind of.
Yeah, like, someone who's sort of in their club. And this was Edward Smith. So he was, like, also allegedly part of the group. The reason that people think that he was in on it is because he was one of the most experienced navigators of the Atlantic, yet he was still sailing full speed into icy waters despite iceberg warnings. And so, like, theoretically, you're like, okay, if you're, like, if you know a lot about icy waters, you would not be sailing full speed into them. Mm-mm. They also point out the fact that apparently it would have been safer, like, if you're heading straight into an iceberg and you know, I guess, about physics and what the, what is it, the walrus would do. apparently it would have been safer if they had just, like, I guess tried to slow down and just hit the iceberg head on instead of trying to, like, sideswipe it. Okay. I don't know why. But, like, Smith, if he had been, like, a seasoned captain, would have known it would have been safer to just, like, kind of bump into it head on instead of sideswiping it. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, he didn't do any of those things. Like, he deliberately went full speed. He deliberately, like, sideswiped it. So their theory is that he was handpicked to, like, basically sacrifice himself and go down with the ship and, like, basically sink the ship on purpose. The theory also relies on the fact that the, well, I say fact in quotations because I don't know if this is true, that the Titanic sent up white flares instead of red ones when they were calling for help, because red means emergency and white just means we are a ship. We are the Titanic. I don't know what it means. It was like white was just a way. White was just a way to identify the ship. So I'm like, I don't know why you would ever send
because up. I feel like any person, whether they know anything, would pick the red ones as an emergency.
But, like, when would you ever send up white flares and be like, hello?
Like, that, when I think white, I think, like, surrender, or, like, we come in peace, like, or...
Hello.
Versus red is like, oh my gosh, we're on fire, we're going down, we need help.
Fire. Yes.
Just basic logic, in my opinion.
And I guess the theory is that, like, there were only white flares on board, and so even if they had wanted to send up red ones, they couldn't.
Another setup.
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. There was a whole thing where they were like, this case that was supposed to contain a flare just now contains a handgun. And I'm like, I don't know what that
just
means.
Kill yourself. No, don't do that.
I don't know what it means. Guggenheim, Strauss, and Astor all died, obviously. The Federal Reserve was installed in December of 1913. So, like, the plan worked. J.P. Morgan, like, killed his rivals and, like, plan worked, and we have a Federal Reserve, and we don't know what it is, but it's...
But we have it.
We have it. There was no way to, like, ensure that those three men were gonna die. They were... All three of them were first-class men.
Convinced to go.
And there was also, like, a fairly good chance that they could have survived, right? Like, that one guy,
Unless something happened that we don't know about.
Ooh.
They couldn't get on the ships.
I like that, digging deeper into the conspiracy.
Because if that captain was a part of it.
You're like, and then Guggenheim was like, crippled!
He could have like paid someone and been like, locked them in their rooms.
Or handcuffed them to a pipe like Jack Dawson was in the movie Titanic. Bringing it back! It all comes back to the movie.
Full circle.
Full circle. I will bring it full circle to the Titan submersible. Don't you worry.
Okay.
All right. Conspiracy theory number three. This one's actually my favorite. There was a cursed mummy.
On I wasn't ready. I know.
What if it had been there was a cursed dolphin? I swear I'm going to do
it. I hate you so much.
I'm going to do an episode on dolphins.
At Hannah.
It's going to happen. Okay. This, it took me so long to do this one point because I was like, what the fuck does this one mean?
Okay, but how did they obtain this cursed mummy in the first place?
Okay. Great question. So here's where the theory came from.
Great segue.
So one of the passengers on board was a British editor named William Stead. And he had spent the past several years claiming that this mummy of an ancient Egyptian priestess was cursed and was causing mysterious deaths wherever she went.
Oh yeah, so put her on a boat full of people.
I know, right? Like, not a great idea. Shortly after the Titanic sank, an article was printed by the Washington Post that detailed how the mummy's grave had been plundered in, like, I think the 1850s. It said 50 years pre... No, wait, 60 years earlier. Did I do the math right? Wait, no, I didn't. Wait.
Let me just let you figure this
okay.
one out.
Okay. Whatever. 1912 minus...
You do the math.
60... 1840s. Really couldn't have just used a calculator while I was writing my notes. Okay, and then apparently every person who came into possession of the mummy since her, like, grave was desecrated came into financial ruin or died, which are two different things. Like,
I mean, kind of similar, kind of different.
Kind of similar, but, like, I would
especially
say that...
during that time.
Yeah, definition of financial ruin... Like, I would say that I have been in, not, like, recently, but, like, as a younger person, I have been in situations of financial ruin.
But in 1912, they don't have the opportunities that they do nowadays.
Yeah, but I've gone through periods of time where I had very little in my bank account. I would not compare
ruin.
That with being
dead. Financial ruin.
I would not compare that with death. I would, you know.
Jared,
but,
cut this.
You know.
Arguing.
You know, potato, patata, whatever. Okay, so William Stead apparently believed that this curse of the mummy wasn't confined to just those people that, like, took possession of her, but also affected the people that wrote about her story. Because he, like, told someone, he's like, I know all about this, but I'm not going to write about it because then I'll be cursed. Well, joke was on him because he was already cursed. JK. JK, JK.
The curses don't speak.
So he allegedly said all of this to, like, several people on the ship, or at least to, like, one person who survived. Because this survivor told his story to the New York World, and then the Washington Post picked up the story. And then somehow a rumor started that the cursed mummy was actually on board the ship. But she wasn't. She's in the British Museum, and she always has been. Well, she hasn't always, but, like...
But, like, since she's... that guy was cursed.
Yes, but, dun, like, dun, dun. Since he was talking about her, it's like, but did the curse just bring down the ship?
But, like, we're talking about her.
I mean, we've already had the knife break, so, like, what else is going to happen?
We're already on a bad streak right now.
Yeah. But one interesting thing about this... Okay, so there wasn't a cursed mummy on board, but Molly Brown, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Bates?
Nanny McPhee.
Nanny McPhee. So she did have an ancient Egyptian ushabti with her. Do you know what an ushabti is? Okay. It is a small figurine that was buried with the dead and meant to act as a servant in the afterlife.
I've never heard about that.
You would know about it if you listened to more of our episodes.
You know what?
We literally just did one about Egyptian mummies.
You know what?
Yeah. What?
Shut your mouth. I do my best.
Okay. You're just listening to a lot of smut right now, so.
I have no shame in that.
So, she had this, like, literal, probably, I mean, definitely stolen from someone, Egyptian artifact, with her. One source said that she was, like, the reason she had it is because she was, like, gonna bring it to a museum in Denver. I don't think that was true, but she eventually gave it to the captain of the Carpathia. And then it eventually ended up at the Molly Brown House Museum, obviously named after her.
Yeah.
And that is in Denver, so.
I mean, technically it made it there.
It made it. And then according to that, the website, like, for that museum, which is called mollybrown.org.
Can we just talk about how crazy it is that that doll survived?
I know. Versus. It's because she grabbed it from her room. I guess had it in her coat when she, like, got on her lifeboat. She was like, better grab my most valuable thing I brought with me. This fucking ancient 1,000-year-old thing.
That is.
I mean, smart for her. Like,
but bizarre. That is bizarre. Like, very random and.
I mean, okay. If your house was sinking and you had to grab one thing, not your child. If your child was safe and you had to grab, like, you know. Only the things you could carry with you.
Not a 1,000-year-old possessed, probably.
Well, if you had one with you.
No. I'd grab, like, my TV. And my PS5.
That's a terrible choice.
My dog.
Okay, not living things. What would you grab? What possession would you grab?
Maybe, like, all of our documents.
See?
Oh, I heard that whole gulp.
It was like a burp as I was gulping. I'm glad it got caught. As you were saying.
But like birth certificate, social security number, that's what I grab.
I have no idea what birth certificates are. I mean, to be fair, I don't have a child, so I don't need to worry about that. Mine's probably in my mom's bank security box or something. I don't know. I don't have it.
You're how old? You don't know where your birth certificate
is. My mom has it. Pretty sure she has it. Mom?
Please?
Dad, when you tell me about the U-boat, can you confirm mom has my birth certificate? It's in the bank security box, right?
Hopefully.
Right? That was a good answer.
Thank you.
I was trying to think of what I would grab. My teddy bear, I think. I have a teddy bear from when I was, like,
two.
He's on my bed right now.
Cute. I love that for you.
His name is Teddy. That's what I named him. When I was two, to be fair.
To be fair.
I don't think historians would be interested in him, though. Maybe, like,
maybe if you have a museum named after you.
I know. Maybe if it was, like, hannahparch.org in Denver.
Colorado.
At the Hannah Parch House. Here's a teddy bear that she grabbed with her while her house was sinking.
She didn't need her birth certificate because it wasn't there.
It was safely in a bank security vault somewhere.
Thanks, Mom.
I hope so. I'll text her tomorrow and ask about that. Or tonight. What time is it? No, she might be in bed.
Late.
I know. Oh, gosh. Okay. Okay, yeah. So, according to mollybrown.org, they don't know why she grabbed, or why she had it in the first place. We know why she grabbed it, because she was smart. And she was like, this is an important piece of history. It shouldn't sink. They don't know why she had it, though. They were like,
yeah, that
suspicious.
It's a strange thing to bring.
Yeah, speculative. But she was smart, and she grabbed it, and it survived. So, good for Molly Brown. Another point for her, I will say.
So, sorry for all those actual people that...
Ugh. Yeah, sorry for the actual lives that were lost.
But this doll did.
But the ancient artifact survived, so there was that. Possibly caused the curse in the first place. Possibly caused the whole boat to sink. But
surprised the lifeboat didn't.
She was the unsinkable Molly Brown. There's nothing that could be done. The curse caused the actual ship to sink, but could not sink Molly Brown.
She's unsinkable.
She is unsinkable. Okay. Final conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. This is the one I think everyone is familiar with. This is the one that Megan and Beverly knew.
Lay it on me.
Okay. The Titanic never sank.
Okay. Tell me more.
Because it was secretly switched out with its sister ship.
I have heard one, yes.
It was secretly switched out with its shittier sister ship, the Olympic, which is the actual ship that sank. So, there were three ships that were, like, all, like, sister ships. So, there was the Olympic, the Titanic, and the Britannica, I think. And the Olympic was damaged in September of 1911, and it had to return to the shipyards for repairs. So, according to this theory, J.P. Morgan, our buddy...
Chase.
he decided that the ship was too badly damaged and that the repairs were too costly. So, another case of a billionaire... Sorry. Another case of a billionaire deciding to cut corners... He decided it would be more profitable, like he needed more profits, to sink the ship and collect the insurance. And in order to make this look more real and not just, like, sink it in the shipyard, he switched the names of the Olympic and the Titanic. And then he ensured that the ship would sink on its maiden voyage. And what I think is very interesting about this theory is that it, like... brings in parts of previous theories. So you could argue that he used, like, that he got the captain who was, like, willing to sacrifice himself and, like, sabotage the ship for, like, the cause. And you could pull in the fact that there might have been damage to the ship, like, from the fire, quote unquote fire. Or it could have been, like, just the damage that the Olympic sustained, because there's, like, actual pictures of the Olympic with, like, damage on the side. Like, if the ship had been, like, backed into the dock to, like, hide damage from it, was it damage from the fire? Was it damage because it was, like, a different ship?
I feel like these just tie them all together.
I know.
It's like, okay, he could have been paid off by the Illuminati.
Right.
And they then allowed it since he already wanted it to be sunk.
Right.
And then if it didn't get... then it would have backed in. No one would have noticed.
Right.
And then... but, like, see, the thing that's confusing to me is why load all those people on...
yeah.
And then have such low lifeboats available for everyone. I mean, whenever... if you were targeting those people, you could just handcuff them to the radio.
Yeah, it's... it's a very complicated way to, it's a really messy way of, like, killing your enemies, I think. Like, it's, or it's a very, like, risky way of.
But, I mean, whenever you're that high up on the food chain, it's like, do you really care?
Yeah.
What lives get in the way?
That's true. Do you?
I mean, I do personally. Don't ask me, but.
Do you?
But, you know, having that standpoint as this person that wants to make this change and get lots of money and doesn't care, you know, about the little people. Awesome.
Yep. And if it's just about, like, making the most money,
bring all those people in, make them pay thousands of dollars for those first class,
or make them pay $250,000 for those seats on your submersible. Did we just come full circle? Oh my gosh.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Unfortunately, this theory is really easy to disprove. I know.
Dang it. I was so on board with that. I was so happy.
I know. I was actually really on board with it too until I was like, here's why it's definitely not true. So both the ships, quote, significant interior, architectural, and design differences. So, like, They were very similar, but they were also, like, definitely different ships. You couldn't just be like, this is the same ship. No, it wasn't. It, like, there were definite differences in them. Probably the most damning piece is that the paneling on each ship, like, when they were building it, was marked with a specific yard number. So the Olympic, because it was made first, was marked with the number 400. And then
like a serial number, kind yeah. of. Yeah.
Okay. And then Titanic was marked with 401. So unless they, like, within, like, a week or two, replaced all of this paneling, which would be, like, nearly impossible, all of the paneling that has been recovered from, like, the wreckage at the bottom of the ocean is marked with 401 for the Titanic. And then, like, the pieces of the Olympic that have been auctioned off after her retirement in 1935 are marked with 400. They probably were not switched.
I don't think they would have cared enough to
yeah,
do all that. Yeah. They were just trying to get rid of a ship.
Yeah. And then, finally, the, quote, Titanic's insurance wasn't enough to cover the Olympic's loss. So, like, it wouldn't actually have made financial sense to do that. And then also, like we said, it's also a really complicated and evil way to like, okay, could we lose some money, or could we concoct a really complicated and possibly not going to work plan? Like, there's so many factors in the plan where, like, it couldn't have worked, and then, like, you're also killing 1,500 people, which they didn't know how many people were going to die, but, like, I don't know. It's like, you could have also just, like, started a fire on the Olympic and sunk it that way.
On, like, a test run or something.
Yeah. So it's like, there were other ways they could have gotten rid of the Olympic that was not...
life.
Yeah, like, putting 2,000 people on board and then sinking it. So that's that one.
Especially that far away from shore and everything. Like, I feel like if they wanted to get their money's worth...
do it within, like, a day. Yeah.
Yeah, and then do it... like, within the first, like, 12 hours of them leaving, so that way rescue boats can come out.
Yeah, like, giving them a chance to, like, save the people on board. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So, my conclusion is that the sinking of the Titanic was likely a combination of a bunch of different factors, a perfect storm, if you will. So, there was damage from the fire that... like, for sure was burning for a week or so. They were definitely traveling faster than they should have been. And then they also for sure cut costs by using the subpar rivets, which, like, were less sturdy in the cold weather.
It just seems like...
it's, like, just all very unfortunate
stuff. Yeah, like, just stuff. Everything added up to its... downfall, pretty much. Like, everything was against this poor boat.
I know.
Wanting to go across the Atlantic.
I know. They just wanted to go to New York. And one site called it, quote, fire, ice, and criminal negligence. Which sounds like the name of, like...
very dramatic.
The 8th Game of Thrones book. Like, fire, ice, and criminal negligence. Which also, I feel like... I mean, there, I guess, was not fire or ice involved in the Titan submersible, but, like, for sure criminal negligence. Just criminal negligence.
Cheapskate billionaire.
Yeah.
So, like, next time we need to take a shot every time that we I know. Say
it. Oh, my gosh. I hope that, like, that whole company gets put on trial, and then I hope they televise the trial. Mm-hmm. Because I will make a drinking game of it, and I
give
will...
give us Johnny Depp, Amber Heard vibes.
Oh, my gosh.
Through and through.
And I will invite... you and Hannah too over, and we'll just watch the trial, and we'll do shots every forever. I don't know, until we pass out, I guess.
Deceased.
Oh my gosh! Moral of the story is that billionaires are immoral.
Cheapskates and don't care about
unless beings. unless anyone listening is a billionaire, in which case. Please subscribe to our Patreon and sign up for the $100,000 a month option, which isn't an option, but you can create your own option. In which case, you are not the immoral billionaire. You are the...
You are very morally...
You are balanced. Helping a small business.
We love a good ethics. We love donations.
Oh, JK, there's not an ethical way to make $1 billion. Facebook. We're at the Tales We Tell podcast. Instagram. Also at the Tales We Tell podcast. We have a website.
Ooh.
That's the taleswetellpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. We have an email address. I don't think we ever say that enough. It's thetaleswetellpodcast@gmail.com.
Ooh, we'd love some suggestions.
Anywhere you listen to podcasts, if there's one that you want and we're not on it, then let us know. Because I think it's pretty easy to get on them. And then we have a Patreon that you can go to if you go to patreon.com and search The Tales We Tell podcast. And you can sign up for that. You can get stickers. Sorry, hold on. What does Katie say?
If you want to see pictures from tonight's episode, check out our Facebook and Instagram at The Tales We Tell Podcast. If you want to support us and get yourself some sweet, sweet swag, check out our Redbubble store. Search The Tales We Tell. We've got several different logos. You can put them on anything.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to support us but you don't need the stuff, you can become a patron at patreon.com. Search The Tales We Tell. All patrons get early access, commercial-free listening. They get access to bonus content. Sometimes we send out stickers and love notes and other random fun stuff. So, yep, always a good time. And also, if you're enjoying things, maybe not this episode in particular with all of its delightful aspects.
So sorry.
Please drop us a review, you know, 5 stars.
Yay.
A little blurb about how much you love the show. Or just a review. That's how other people can find us. Yes. And listen to other really just uplifting episodes like tonight.
Yay!
I cheated the system.
Oh, man. Okay, well, yeah, all of that. And, oh my gosh. Everyone go watch Titanic. It's on Amazon Prime. And don't get it, don't go into the ocean. Ever.
Don't step on dolphins.
Don't step on dolphins.
Oh, just don't.
Don't go to the ocean. Don't get on ships. Don't step on dolphins.
And you know what the crazy part is I've been seeing so much going on with, like, the cruise ships.
What is going on with the cruise ships?
I don't know. There is stuff going on with the cruise ships right now. There is stuff going on.
I mean, the Titanic is basically a cruise ship.
Yeah, I've seen videos of, like, crazy wind. Like,
oh,
this
no.
lady was running away from, like, the deck where they have the pool, it looked like.
She's running away from the deck?
Yes, because the wind was crazy. It was knocking stuff over. She's holding her baby in her hand. She has the stroller behind her. Luckily, the baby's not in the stroller.
Oh, God.
And one of the, like, beach chairs goes over the ledge and falls onto the stroller.
Oh my god.
And luckily she was holding her baby and not, like, having another one.
Oh my gosh.
It was terrifying. They crushed the stroller and she just ditched it. She was like, nope. She just kept running. So
I bet it was going faster than 24 knots.
I bet it was just the wind. So her eyelashes were up, her mouth was open. No, but really be careful, especially during hurricane season.
Oh my gosh.
It gets nasty out
there.
Are
we in the middle of that?
Huh?
Are we in the middle of that? When is that?
Not yet. Not yet.
I thought it started in June.
August.
Oh no.
September area.
Oh gosh. All right.
Almost.
Well, everyone stay safe. Thank you, Hannah, for being our guest co-host.
Yes.
This is very fun and also possibly the longest episode we've ever done.
That's what I'm here for.
But also probably one of the funnest.
I'm just too chaotic for
this. This is also one of the most chaotic, but also probably the hardest I've laughed in a long time. So.
We have fun. We eat cheese.
We did. We finished most of the cheese, except for that one piece that you still put over on the table.
It's hard.
You still have to eat it.
We'll give it to your mouth.
No. Throw it in my ear, but don't do that. Don't encourage him. Don't encourage him and his family. Okay, do you know how we sign off? It's really obnoxious. It's not that obnoxious.
Is it the bird call?
No, we just say, like, okay, we'll see you next week. And then we go, bye. But we do it at the same time.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.